Psalm 78:1 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Notice this, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I'm going to be preaching from this text for the most part here this morning, verse 7, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Commandments of the Lord are awesome. I'm thankful for the commandments of the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. Let me tell you. Turn to your neighbor and say, let me tell you. Let me tell you. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him, he's going to tell us. He's going to tell us. Amen. If you love the Lord, would you just lift your voices one more time? Come on, let's lift our voices one more time. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, God. We adore you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the praise team, God. We thank you for the ministry of RT Kids upstairs, God. We thank you for what you did at 9 o'clock. But here right now, we have come hungry and thirsty for your word, God. We have come, God, ready to receive the infallible word, God, today. We give you praise. We give you glory. Come on. Let's give God praise. Let's give God glory here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. This psalm is what we would refer to as a psalm of Asaph. It is the Maaseiel, excuse me, of Asaph, or the instruction of Asaph. It was written for instruction or edification and even rebuke. It's a psalm given to instruction. And notice, if we receive instruction and we don't abide or do what the instructions recommend, it's our fault. Amen. It's our fault. And in this scripture setting, it's 72 verses long. It's what we would refer to as a historical psalm. Sister Daylene, God bless you. It's very similar to Psalm 105. And the first 8 verses are really focused on the obligation of God's people and what he has done. And then it provides insight as to why the Israelites stumbled in fulfilling their obligations and consequently giving us some insight to their stumbling. We understand what the scripture is telling us when you begin to read this. This is the 72 verses of a history lesson. And we know that the psalmist is reciting Israel's history. Here in this setting, the people of Israel rebelled and they weren't faithful to God. The psalmist here in this scripture or this chapter, in this particular psalm, lists God's wonders that he had done right before the very eyes of the people. The plagues in Egypt, the dividing of the Red Sea, the producing of water from a rock, the daily provisions of manna, the miraculous massive flock of quail that he would feed them with. And should I mention the pillar of cloud and fire that was with them every day and led them through their journey? These are not miracles that they heard about, but God performed these very things right before their eyes. You would think, somebody say you would think that such mighty deeds would make a lasting impression, but they forgot. They forgot. And can you relate that you who years ago experienced miraculous-like conversions, you were able to live off of that great work, but at times you grow weary, and there's the tediousness of life and making a living, and then the inevitable trials that will come. Let me tell you what the Bible says in Galatians 6 and 9. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, somebody say in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Let me tell you the law of reaping and sowing. It's in the 8th verse of Galatians when it says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So I encourage you here this morning to keep sowing into the kingdom.
Amen.
To keep pressing on into the kingdom. To be seekers of the kingdom. And keep making investments into the kingdom. You ought to be looking at yourself as an investor. I'm an investor in the kingdom. I'm part owner in the kingdom. I gotta say so. In the kingdom, because I got direct conversation with the Lord every morning. I talk to him and he speaks to me with his word, because I'm an investor. I'm an owner. I got ownership in the kingdom. When people ask me, why are you all crazy for Jesus? It's because I used to be crazy for a lot of other things, but now I'm an owner. I'm part of the kingdom. I'm part of the king, an everlasting kingdom. I finally got into something that doesn't fade away, that doesn't expire, that doesn't get outdated. I'm a kingdom-minded person. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Scripture tells us in Matthew 6 and 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust and dust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. But notice this. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where it doesn't get stolen and there's not moth and there's not dust. But notice what the scripture tells us in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've come to tell somebody here this morning that we've got to keep our hearts and our minds fixed on Jesus. When the journey of life is around you and you feel like you're sinking and you feel like you can't take anymore, you've got to remember that everything that we've got is going to go through the hands of the Lord. And he's not going to leave you and he's not going to forsake you. And in this world, you're going to have highs and you're going to have lows. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. But we cannot forget how we got here, how we were able to get here. It's because of the mercies and the love of God. Let me tell somebody here this morning, you cannot forget where you're going. Brother David, we're on our way to heaven.
That's right.
The psalmist declared that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Let me tell you. Our hope is in God. Jeremiah 17 and 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And notice this. And whose hope the Lord is. He is a God of hope. Because he is hope. And what more do you need? Some of you used to deal dope. Now you can deal some hope. Come on, somebody. You can be a hope dealer. Say, I used to be a troublemaker. Now I'm just giving you hope on Jesus. I'm just letting you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you what he's done for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Because I serve a God of all hope.
That's right.
The scripture tells us in Psalm 15 and 13. Some of you got scared there for a moment. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. Notice this. That ye may abound in hope. Romans 15 and 13. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. We've got the power of the Holy Ghost, and it's in us, but it ought to be active in us. It ought to not be anemic or dormant. We ought not to be in negative charged with the Holy Ghost. We've got to be on fire. We've got to stay filled and full of the Holy Ghost. I've come this morning to preach some hope into someone. For way too long, you've relied on yourself. You've relied on your talents. You've relied on your money. You've relied on your education. You've relied on your charisma, and things have changed, and life has kicking you in the teeth, and you're wondering what's going to happen and how are things going to turn out to be the way that you intended them to turn out. Can I tell you, you've got to set your compass back on Jesus. You've got to recalibrate and get connected to Jesus. Let me tell you, He is the only hope for the world today. Some of you have got to quit living in the smoke of the memories of the past and get caught up to what the Lord is doing right now. Romans 13:11 says, and knowing that now the time is, it's time to wake up out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than it was when we first believed. God is doing so much right now for us. So much. And if we aren't careful, it'll pass us right by as we're standing there. And we can't just say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost, and not walk in spiritual authority. We can't say that we have the Holy Ghost and not walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 tells us, and I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can I tell you, part of the reason why some of you are doing some of the things you're doing is because you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not living in the Spirit. You're not keeping your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Can I tell you, when God gave us the Holy Ghost, it wasn't just for us to sit there and say, I got it, and be able to mark something off as a plan of salvation. But no, He gave us the Holy Ghost so we could have power. And in Acts 1:8 says, and you shall be witnesses. You've got the Holy Ghost for power and to be a witness. It's time for some of us to be a witness about what God is doing, because we're one generation away from it all falling apart, or we could be one generation away for it blowing up with apostolic harvest like we have never seen before. Let me tell you, I'd rather see apostolic harvest. I want to see apostolic harvest all through the Santa Maria Valley. I want to see God do things that we have prophetic utterance for. It is time for revival. Can I tell you this morning, or let me tell you, somebody say, let me tell you. What the world needs is more light from the Christians. Not for us to blend in. Please don't blend in. Please don't blend in. Be a beacon of hope. Especially to your children. Brag about Jesus to your kids. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord in your house. When you're cruising down the road, give God the glory. Psalmist says in verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, His wonderful works that He hath done. Let me tell you, I know that you got trouble. Some of you are saying, Pastor, how'd you know?
Amen.
You're like, trouble sitting right here next to me. Somebody just elbowed their wife right now, right? So the husbands are always getting the bad rap, so. But the Bible tells us, Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope. Patient. Tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Part of the demise of the generation in our scripture setting is forgetfulness. Psalm 78:11 says, and forgot His works, His wonders that He had showed them. Listen to this. Listen. Forgetfulness can make us disobedient. But disobedience can likewise make us forgetful.
That's really wise.
The generation that we're referring to in our scripture setting not only forgot the Bible, but the scripture says in verse 10, refused to walk in his law. And then it leads to, when you refuse to walk in the law, it leads to ingratitude, where you're just unthankful. Sister Rodriguez touched on it this morning as she exhorted during praise and worship about just God's been good to her. She's not manifesting an unthankful attitude. She's recalling to her mind the thankfulness that God has been to her. She's thankful. It would do a whole lot of us good to have that same spiritual disposition to say, God, I thank you. Thank you is just the best I can do, because there's not a vocabulary big enough to tell you all that I can, or a word great enough to explain to you how I really feel, God. So simply, I lift my hands and I lift my voice and I say, thank you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not his benefits. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you for all that you have done, Lord. I know some people forget, but I just thank you for the blood that's flowing through my body. I thank you, Lord, for the peace that passeth understanding. I thank you, Lord, that I could come and worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. I thank you today. I don't want to be like that generation who is unthankful, who is entitled, who thinks that the world or God owes them something. Can I tell you, he's done so much for me, I cannot begin to tell it all. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Can I just take a moment here today and just lift my hands with you and say thank you, Jesus. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thank you for what he's done and what he's going to do? Somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us in Psalm 78 and 32, for all this they still sinned and believe not his wonderful works. God help us. If after all we've been through and after all that he's done for us, if we become forgetful and so full of ourselves that we even disregard the very belief of his wonderful works. Let me tell you, who else can tell the number of stars and call them all by their names? Who else can pump blood into our veins, air in our lungs? Who else can deal with you the way you need to be dealt with? Who else can dwell or deal with the heart of man and fix the bruises and the wounds of life in our lives? The psalmist says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Let me tell you, do you remember the story of redemption? Romans 5, John 1 and 11 tells us, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Do you understand and remember what redemption means? And Romans 5 and 8 says, for God commendeth his love for us, that while yet we were sinners, Christ died for us. Do you remember reading about the cross of Calvary in the Bible, where the scripture tells us, and when they were come to this place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And in verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they say. And he did it for love. He did it because he loved us so much that he bled and he died and he was crucified. But he didn't just stay there in a tomb. But on the third day, he rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And Colossians 1 and 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Come on, RT. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Anybody here this morning, have you been redeemed? And the Bible tells us in Psalm, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I wonder if there's any redeemed folks in here this morning that would remember what it was like to be lost in sin, but you had an encounter with Jesus. He picked you up. He turned you around. He's been picking you up ever since. He loved you, and he forgave you, and he's forgiven you again today. Brand new mercy. Let the redeemed this morning of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed lift your hands. Let the redeemed, let there be a shout of praise and a hand clap of thanksgiving that I've been redeemed. I got a song that the angels cannot sing. Glory, hallelujah, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. Titus tells us, looking unto the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice this. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So I'm not going to sit idle and silent about my testimony or the revival and harvest that God has positioned us for. Come on, somebody. Amen. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We need Jesus. Brother Marquez, give me Jesus. We need his love. We need his holiness in our hearts and in every aspect of our lives. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear or reverence of God. God needs us to be a holy people in an unholy world. That's what we are called to be. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath called us unto, had not called us unto uncleanliness, but he's called us unto holiness. There's a reason why we are alive today and when there's global tension and there's global unrest and there's civil disobedience and there's lawlessness and there's unthankfulness and the world is upside down and it's untoward and there's craziness going on all around us. There's a reason why God has a church called Revival Tabernacle and the Apostolic Pentecostal Movement is because he's got people that need to be holy to show a world what holiness looks like, what holiness is, not just what we read and talk about, but they can see a holy people with apostolic demonstration and power and anointing, apostolic doctrine, Pentecostal experience, holiness and lifestyle. Let me tell you, except ye have holiness, you won't see the Lord. Let me tell you, the way our kids are going to know holiness is if we show them, we teach them, we demonstrate it to them, not talk about it. What they need is to see people that are on fire for God.
Thank you, Jesus.
This generation of kids are brilliant. They're some of the smartest and most gifted of all generations. I mean, they can multitask. That's just part of who they are. Some of us still have a hard time chewing gum and walking, right? Some of you are the original multitaskers. You used to drive a stick shift and eat a burger and look at a map and try to get to where you're trying to get. Anybody live like that back in the day, the good old days? Yeah, the big map. Anybody remember the big map? Psalm 78:6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Notice this, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Our hope is in Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus. Psalmist, notice the psalm, Psalm 39:7, powerful. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Wow. My hope is in God, Matthew. What some of you need here this morning is a good old-fashioned praying through. Well, I'm coming for you.
Amen.
Good old-fashioned conviction of the Word of God. Listen, I'm going to help somebody here this morning. Somebody say, help me, Pastor.
Help me, Pastor.
Some of you need to get a new address. Because you keep opening the door to your past. And you need to tell your past that you don't live there no more. So you need to let every sin and every failure and every mistake and every homie say, I don't live there anymore. I'm not giving you my new address because I don't want that mail junk forwarded to my new address. Let me tell you who Jesus is. I'm not that anymore. You need to get a Titus in your life. A person that brings encouragement and faith in time of need. That's what you need. Somebody like Titus who could tell you, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. What you don't need is a glass of wine. What you need is to be filled with the Spirit again. That's what you need. You need a Goliath in your life. You need a Goliath, something that will challenge your anointing and stretch you. And that way you can look at it and say, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come with you in the name of the Lord. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Some of you need a pastor and not a preacher. I would love to be all your pastor, but some of you have only allowed me to a place of reservation as your preacher on Sundays.
Talk about it. Preach, Mon.
Jeremiah 3:15 says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I need to be more than your preacher. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy. Somebody say joy.
With joy.
And not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Amen.
What some of us need is a Mordecai.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't need no Hamans in your life. Trying to stab you in the back. Conspire against you. Spirit of narcissism. No. You need a Mordecai.
Amen.
Someone who sees the potential in you.
Amen.
And isn't afraid to invest in you. And tell you that maybe you were called for such a time as this. Come on, somebody. Haters are going to hate. It's going to happen. But we need some Esthers in the kingdom and say, I was made for this, baby. I was called for such a time as this. I'm headed due north towards heaven. I'm recalibrating this morning. Let me tell you, my hope is in Jesus. God is speaking to us so profoundly. In the last 7 to 10 days, there's been things that have happened across the world that is as biblically filled with end time alerts. Just global unrest. I mean, I could go on and on. Maybe I'm saving it for another time, but just governments being overturned and I mean, 2 and 3 presidents already in 1 year. I mean, you just talk about unrest and tensions and men's hearts failing them for fear when God has called us for more. Let me tell you, he's called us for more. We got to appreciate the past, but the future is bigger and it's brighter. Here, Pastor, this morning, if you want to live in the past, you're going to die in the future. You won't make it. And Haggai 2:9 says, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former house. And the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:17. He says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Can I tell you, you've got to look for what God is about to do and not heed to the Jezebel spirit of the day. The Jezebel spirit wants to cut off and put the church on mute and cut off the voice of the prophet and the word of God. The devil is a liar. The Jezebel spirit wants to control and wants to use emotional fear and sex and power to control you. We need to invert the spirit of Jezebel, and we need to remember and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. work. Let me tell you, Jesus is my hope. We got to avert the spirit of Cain. Averting the spirit of Cain, a person who detests the relationship of God in your life and despises the favor and blessings of the Lord in your life. Let me tell you this morning, this is going to freak some of you out. This is going to surprise you. But the devil is not your friend. Just saying.
Amen.
Can't be friends with the enemy. Right? Can't do it. Not going to work. You remember back in high school, back way back when in the good old days for some of us, right? You couldn't talk to your buddy's girlfriend when they broke up. Just didn't work that way. Can I tell you? You can't be friends with Jesus and say I love Jesus and hold hands with the devil. It just don't work that way. You can't talk like heaven on Sunday and live like hell the rest of the week. Nah, it don't work like that. Be sober. Be vigilant.
Yes.
Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour.
Yes.
Somebody say, the devil's not my friend. James 4:7 says, resist the devil. He'll flee from you.
Yes, he will.
Let me just tell you who he is. He's the accuser of the brethren.
Yep.
That means he brings false accusations against you. He'll tear you down. He'll stab you in the back. He's a snake and a liar and the father of it. He was a murderer and there's no truth in him because he is not a truth. So tell everybody that our hope is in Jesus. Especially the coming generation. Because Jesus declared, he said, in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Amen.
But I have come that they may have life.
Yes. Yes.
Life more abundantly. Amen. Have you ever, I'm coming to a close, have you ever met somebody that they're like a leech? Right? They suck the joy out of you.
Yeah.
They suck the life out of you.
Yeah.
They're just... Right? Hey. The Lord's not that way. He's constantly pouring into you. Brand new mercy every day. Life more abundantly. The joy of the Lord is my strength. With joy shall you draw out of the well of salvation. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's all good stuff. Let me tell you, our hope is in Jesus. He loves you. He cares for you.
Yeah.
Psalm 78:7 tells us, as musicians would come, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
Yeah.
We cannot forget how we got here.
No.
By a show of hands this morning, how many of you are here this morning because somebody you were connected to brought you to church or invited you to church? You're living for the Lord, or you're here this morning because somebody personally invited you. Let me see you raise your hand. Just get extra credit this morning for class participation. There you go. All right. And how many of you are here today because somebody knocked on your door and handed you a door hanger and said, hey, would you come to church with us? How many of you? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Nobody. One, thank the Lord. We have daily encounters with people that they're looking for hope in a pill bottle, in a relationship, with addiction, with career, with everything else. And we're walking around with what they need and what they want. Let me tell you, it's time to be disciple makers. Tell everybody about Jesus.
Yeah.
We're all stewards of something as we stand this morning. We're all stewards of something. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Everything we have is a form of stewardship. Our kids, our marriages, our finances, our talents, our anointings. It's all a form of stewardship. And God has equipped and blessed us, this generation and this church, with much talent, with much anointing and much ability, with much prophetic utterances. And to whom much is given, much is required. But here, Pastor, today, we cannot sit idle during this time of harvest. I preached about a couple weeks ago, don't fall asleep during harvest time. But let me tell you, God did not save us for us just to be a bench warmer. Nobody likes a bench warmer, right? Everybody likes team players. We need to be team players in the kingdom. We've got to be about our Father's business. Every prayer has got to be intentional. You worship leaders up here, every song you pick, it's got to be intentional. It's got to be intentional. Every sermon ministry team that we preach or teach, it's got to be spirit-filled. Can I tell this Revival Tabernacle that every service has to be red hot? It's got to be an atmosphere to allow the presence of the Lord to dwell. We got plans for Wednesday, to be here on Wednesday, but we're not guaranteed we're going to be here Wednesday. We've got to make sure that we set our hope in God. He is our only hope. You say, well, we put our best foot forward on Sunday, but what about Wednesday? What about Thursday and Friday and Tuesday and Monday? Sin doesn't take a day off. God doesn't take a day off. And he's looking. He's looking for people to say, you know what? I'm recalibrating this morning. I'm going to recalibrate. I'm going to hit reset. I'm going to get spiritually aligned this summer. And I'm going to set my hope on God.